Hello and welcome to Mercy Echoes, the official podcast of Mercy International Association, or MIA. My name is Brenda Drum and I am MIA's Head of Communications. We are an organisation of the leaders of Mercy congregations, institutes and federations throughout the world, founded to serve the Sisters of Mercy, their associates and partners in ministry. MIA has its base in Baggot Street in Dublin in the original House of Mercy, opened by Catherine Macaulay in 1827. If you would like to get in touch with us about our podcast, just hold on till the end of this episode and we will give you all of the details that you need. On this episode of Mercy Echoes, I am joined by someone close to me in MIA, my colleague Caroline Thompson, who recently took on the role of Head of Heritage and Spirituality with us. Caroline has had an extensive and successful career in Catholic education, including senior leadership positions, principal, assistant principal and APRE. Her doctoral studies focused on Catholic educational leadership, Catholic identity and contemporary governance challenges. Caroline has worked extensively in the PJP space, providing leadership for the highly regarded formation programme for Mercy Partners and serving on a variety of formation teams, including the National Catholic Education Conference Faith Formation and ORE Committee, the Good Samaritan Education Council, the Edmund Rice Community Services Mission Committee, the Mercy Mission Formation Network and the AMPJM Mission Committee. I was delighted to speak to her a little earlier this month and I began by asking her to tell me where she is in the world, geographically and otherwise, as well as telling me a little bit about herself.
Yes, I'll be delighted to tell you a bit about myself. Not that there's much to tell, really. I am in Australia at the moment. I was actually born in the UK, in Wales, and my parents emigrated to Australia when I was 10. So I've been in Australia a long time, have a bit of an Australian accent, you might say. My first encounter with the Sisters of Mercy was when I was a newly graduated secondary school teacher, and I had gone back to Wales to visit my grandmother once I graduated. And when I came home, I decided that I might just waft for the next few months and not do any work. And lo and behold, a Sister of Mercy knocked on our door at home, and I remember it clearly now, my brother saying, "Mum, there's a nun at the door." And it turned out that she wanted a teacher for her school. Her school was in a remote place called Roma, nothing like Roma in Italy, Roma in Western Queensland. And that's where I went. And that was my very first teaching position. And she was Sister Miriam McShane, no longer with us. But that was my introduction to Mercy. And I've been in and out of Mercy schools for most of my 30 plus year teaching career. I've also taught in presentation schools, Marist schools, but Mercy was the sort of predominant one. And then about 10 years ago, I actually left teaching and picked up a job as a director of formation for Mercy Partners, which is one of the Mercy PJPs in Australia. So that's my connection with Mercy. I have two children and three grand puppies and two grand cats. And I'm currently in Perth, which is, it's amazing because it was to Perth that the first Sisters of Mercy went from Ireland in 1846, which when you think about it, was only 5 years after Catherine Macaulay died, and they were at the other end of the universe. In a place, honestly, yesterday it was 40 degrees here, and that would have been the weather that they came into. And they founded a school at the invitation of the bishop. But when they got here, there was no convent and there were no students. So it's another interesting story. Ursula Frayne led the expedition. She had five other sisters with her. But again, it reinforced for me being here this week, just the courage of those founders who went out from Dublin and took Mercy into all corners of the world. It was just amazing.
I loved that phrase you said, that you were wafting. And I think that probably most of us as young people have done a bit of wafting every now and then in our lives. But it just shows the what they did, those sisters that left Dublin, was probably the most opposite of wafting that you could have, where they purposefully and courageously kind of set out. And it was lovely that you got to be part of those celebrations in Perth. And I know you're going to be sharing your attendance of that with us. So we'll keep the powder dry on that. We'll make people wait for the next Mercy
Okay,
E-News for
no more.
the story, but no more zipped. You recently took on the role of head of heritage and spirituality with us in Mercy International Association. What did you get yourself into? What does that role entail?
Well, to be honest, Brenda, I'm still working this out to be, but I think to me it's to preserve and promote Mercy heritage. Now, whether that means regularly offering programs about the history of the Sisters of Mercy, looking after the artifacts that are precious artifacts that live at Mercy International, and also having an eye to what I was talking about before with the different founders of the different places, and preserving those stories for the future. So that's the first thing, I think. That's the heritage aspect of it. And clearly, people come to the House of Mercy, individual people who might be on holidays in Dublin who have a connection to Mercy, or organised groups. And there's going to be a role there in doing tours of the house, or tours of Coolock, or tours of Catherine's Dublin. That's a given of the role. But to me, it's a much deeper role as the Sisters of Mercy sort of around the world enter into diminishment, I think that's what they're calling it, or completion.
Completion, yeah.
It's the onus is now on us to ensure that that heritage is protected and looked after and promoted, and that young people into the future have the opportunity to visit Baggot Street, to understand what Catherine Macaulay did and what she was up against when she went there, and some of the beautiful things that are actually preserved there. The other half of the role, because it's Director of Heritage and Spirituality, I see as providing prayers and resources and workshops and retreats for people centered on either the life of Catherine or what mercy means in a world today that is pretty much lacking in mercy in many ways. So there's that second role of running retreats and reflection days and online things that people may find useful in keeping connected with that spirit. Now, I might be totally wrong about all of this, and it might turn out to be a different job altogether, but that's how I see it.
You've touched on some of the exciting things that you want to share, and one of my questions was going to be any chance that you'd share a heritage or a spirituality series with us, but you've just done that in our most recent Mercy E-News. So can we now announce that as a regular series?
Absolutely. And I'd also like to offer, leading up to the 200th anniversary, I'd like to offer once a month a heritage. I'm thinking of calling it, and it's worth a thought, just a moment from the history, a moment from Baggot Street's history, a moment from Ireland's history that just gives thought, gives rise to thoughts about what an amazing story this is. Somebody said to me today, it's fantastic to be able to share a story. I'd like to offer a series, maybe once a month, that focuses on online series that focuses on some aspect of the journey to the House of Mercy leading up to the 200th anniversary next year. And they will focus on things to do with street, why Catherine chose to go there, some of the obstacles that she had, those sorts of things. So, yeah, that one's
And
in the pipeline.
you were saying that also you wanted to talk about some, what would Catherine have seen when she stepped outside the door of Baggot
Yes.
Street? Yeah, I think that would be lovely. One of the programs and the pilgrimages that is very much your baby now is the Young Mercy Leaders Pilgrimage, and it's taking place, I know, in July. Who are you hoping will attend and what have you planned? Because I know the program is going to look and feel very different to what has gone before. And I only have experience of two of them, but looking at your program, it looks very, very enticing and exciting, and it's great. So maybe share a bit about that.
I've been around the Mercy world for a while, and I get told over and over again that the most meaningful thing that people have ever done is to visit Baggot Street. It touches people in amazing ways. And I think providing that opportunity for young people who've either had a Mercy education or an interest in Mercy in some way is a really important thing for us to do. So I'm very excited. I think because they are young people, they will have a different, they'll come at Mercy in a different way. And I think it's important for them to have a look at the house, but also have an experience of who Catherine McAuley was, what she was trying to do, and how they might be Mercy leaders themselves. So it's a very exciting program. It's going to be, it's going to have a mix of workshops, prayer, and excursions. So getting outside the house and going to places like Glendalough, which is a very sacred place in Ireland, a place where Celtic spirituality and early Christian spirituality came together. And we know that Catherine was a deeply spiritual person and very much influenced by Celtic ideas about the power of women and the importance of wisdom circles and things like that. We're going to have the opportunity to walk the footsteps of Catherine through Catherine's Dublin and some of the places that were significant for her on that journey. We're going to have the opportunity to hear from people in the Mercy world who are doing amazing things. Because I think, to me, young people are often attracted to social justice projects, things that make a difference. Yeah, history's good. But what are we doing now? And there will be a focus on that in the program as well. So it's got a bit of everything, and I think it will be really good. And we still have early bird tickets or registrations
Registration,
available.
yeah.
So if you're thinking about, I think what would be a life-changing opportunity, then sign up for the Mercy Young Leaders. You won't regret it.
And
You
it's
won't regret
taken
it.
place. I have the dates here. It's the 28th to the 31st of July in person in Dublin. And what's really nice, I think, about it is that it's going to be our first big group in the house after we open from this phase of the essential work. So it's great. And I've had a look at the program, and I'm hoping I get a chance to attend a good bit of it as well, because there's some really good topics and themes, which I think and I think it's also really good food for thought as well, because this year it's for what we call post-secondary college university students. So because we change the we change the kind of the groupings year on year. So and as I said, I've been part of two of them, and they were absolutely it's very life affirming, as you said, and it is a life changing experience to get to come
It's
to
an
Catherine's house.
opportunity.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to make friends across the Mercy world, to do something really different with that sort of, that bit of time between the end of school and the start of uni when things are a bit slow. I mean, a lot of people I know, well, in Australia, they have gap years where they do something a bit different. That could
Yeah.
be a great gap year experience.
So if people are interested, all the information is up on our website, mercyworld.org. It's one of the first items up there. And the early bird, I think, Caroline, that finishes the end of this month, I think, February.
Yes, I think it's the end of
Yeah.
February. Yep.
So if you
So get
know you
in if
want to
you're
come,
interested.
get
Come.
registering. Yeah. On the theme of spirituality, I know that you have planned a retreat for Lent. Will you tell us a little bit about that, and if people can still sign up for that?
Well, with the house being closed, it occurred to me that it would be nice to offer something. Lent is a significant season in the church's year, and I thought a Lenten program that focuses on walking a mercy path this Lent might be a good opportunity for people who'd like to do something a little bit different this Lent. It'll have one online session on the 17th of February, which is Shrove Tuesday, I believe. And there'll be follow-up materials sent out each week for each of the Sundays of Lent, focusing on the readings of the Sundays of Lent, and also some reflection on how Catherine McAuley challenges us through her mercy walk, her mercy life, to really be able to focus in this Lent on doing something a bit different. So I won't tell you any more because it'll spoil the thing, but it will be only an hour. It's an hour out of your time to set aside to step into Lent with something a little bit different.
And again, that information is up on the homepage of our website with the self-registration is now live, and we'll send you a little reminder closer to the time. So we look forward to really looking forward to that as well. Caroline, you have obviously been drawn to mercy your whole life, and I know you touched on a little bit of the how and the why of that. What is it about Catherine McAuley that speaks to you and that can speak to the whole world today?
I think Catherine McAuley, for me, epitomizes that ordinary people can do extraordinary things if they enter them with faith behind them. And when I look at Catherine McAuley, I also put her in the same group as, say, a Nano Nagel, a Mary Aikenhead, a Teresa Ball, all of those women in Ireland who stood up at a time when poverty was chronic, it was deliberate, and they saw the suffering and they did something about it, as opposed to probably thousands of others who saw the suffering and thought, well, what can I do? And I like that attitude of, well, I can do something, I can use my resources to do to provide an education for girls, which at that time was not available. And I think she said something like, nothing is more productive to society than the education of women. So it just wasn't the girls, it was the women who came that she taught skills to. She had a vocational college long before vocational education became a thing. She looked after the prostitutes, she looked after the girls who were being pressured and abused in their positions. She made a difference, and she did it in a totally selfless way. It wasn't for, like, she wasn't making TikToks or Instagrams or anything like that. She just got in there and did it, and it made such a difference. And for every act of kindness that she did, people remember those things. People well into their. I was reading a book the other day on another of the Irish founders, Edmund Rice, who operated at the same time as Catherine in Dublin. And they interviewed old men in their 80s and 90s, this is back in 1912, who had gone to Edmund Rice's school. And they asked them what they remembered. And to a person, they remembered his kindness. They remembered that when they turned up at school and they hadn't had anything to eat, he fed them. They remembered that he touched their hair and asked them how they were. And that's what Catherine McAuley did. She provided a place where kids who had not been seen, no one cared about, could come and be shown kindness and be shown that they mattered. And I think that's what Catherine McAuley means to me. And we can all do the same thing. We can all, in our own place, look around at the people who are excluded or who don't fit in, and we can show them that they matter through a smile, through the offer of help, through a handshake, whatever it is. So it's such a simple philosophy, but it's so powerful.
Before I let you go, do you have a favorite quote of Catherine's? What is it and why is it your favorite?
Well, I called the book I wrote of resources on Catherine McAuley the Be As Shining Lamps. And I like that one because Light is that light in darkness thing. When you live in a dark time and you take a light in, it makes it like if you wake up in the middle of the night and light a torch, it makes a big difference. But I think more recently, I've come around to always act with courage. I have it on the back of a t-shirt that I bought at Mercy International a couple of years back when I was there. And I wear it every now and again, and it always gets a comment.
Really?
Always act with courage. Yeah. And it,
Yeah.
you know, how people wear things on their shirts. Well, it's on the back of this shirt. And I think it is a good message. It's a good message for all of us, you know, whether it's the courage to speak up against something that's not right, or the courage to write a letter to a politician, or the courage to say something that needs to be said, which might, you know, upset people. But, and she showed that she had courage. She didn't have it easy. She was up against a lot of opposition. And she was a woman on her own at a time when the, you know, attitudes of women were pretty poor. You know, what would she know? How dare she be a do this? You know, that was the constant. But she acted with courage. And I like that. And I think it's a good message for us.
Yeah, always act with
Next
courage.
week I might have another
Yeah.
favorite, but at the
No, we're only
moment
allowing you
must.
to, we've allowed you to, so that's it, you know, but
Okay.
and
All right, no more
you can
favorites.
revisit
Right.
it, you can we can waver in and out of those, but I do like the shining lamps one, and I think the always act with courage just very, very much speaks to the world we're living in today at the moment, and it probably does at all times, but it just feels like it particularly resonates, and I think that's probably why people are commenting, because it's not a given,
And I
it's no
think
longer a given.
you look at those people in Minnesota who are coming out onto the streets and protesting, you know, and you look at people who are standing, you know, standing up for what's right, and you think, would I go out? Would I do that? But those people are showing enormous courage, and I think it's something that's really important. You're right. Our world needs courage.
Yeah.
It needs more Catherine McAuleys.
Needs more Catherine McAuleys. And that's why the Young Mercy leaders and the work that you're doing to keep unpacking Catherine's heritage, her story, is so important. So we're delighted that you've joined our team here in Mercy International, and we very much look forward now to seeing what the program for the Young Mercy leaders. So the call to action for people is to sign up to the Lenten retreat, is to make sure they check out Mercy eNews, where your new Heritage Corner and Spirituality Corner can be read. They're also on the website, and then also to get your registration in for the Young Mercy Leaders Pilgrimage. Caroline, it's been a pleasure to chat to you, and look forward to chatting to you soon and to joining you for your Lenten retreat.
It's been great to talk to you too.
That was Caroline Thompson, our Head of Heritage and Spirituality here in MIA. And if I was to take one thing from that interview, I can't, because there were two particular things that Caroline said that really stuck with me. The first is that ordinary people can do extraordinary things if they enter them with faith behind them. And the second is something Caroline said about poverty in Catherine's time, which she described as chronic and deliberate. And Catherine, along with other women of her time, like Nano Nagle and Mary Aikenhead, saw the poverty and did something about it when so many people saw it and did nothing about it. So that's it for episode 10 of Mercy Echoes. I hope that you enjoyed our chat. We will be back with you soon with more voices from the Mercy world. Do give us a follow on Spotify. In fact, why not hit subscribe so as the next episode will land into your phone or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can find out more on our website, mercyworld.org. And in the meantime, if you want to get in touch to suggest a theme or a guest, or if you have a question, then please drop me an email, brendadrum@mercyinternational.ie. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.